This is another edition of Waiver Wired brought to you by FanDuel. And I'm Jen Piacenti, and our host is here with me today. Don't worry, he didn't go anywhere. He didn't quit the show like he threatened to last week. We talked him off the ledge, and I'm pretty sure he had a pretty good week this week. The one, the only, Jerry Ferrara. Jerry, what's up?
I wanted to mislead the audience and make them think that I officially retired. I came close a couple of times again to stepping out. This was like Bloody Sunday, right? With all these injuries. I enjoyed the football day, but I did not enjoy seeing so many, any player for that matter, but so many bigger names go down with injuries. We are gonna have to get our guy Will Carroll back on ASAP this Thursday, because a lot of guys went down.
ASAP, because I have Saquon Barkley in one of my leagues, and I'm already looking like, am I really going to put a bid on Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman? I got to get creative. I would love it if it's not a torn ACL. Of course, early reports are that could be what it is. I don't know. Should we even go down this laundry list of injuries? It's pretty bad.
Well, I mean, first of all, how many times are the early reports wrong? They're usually pretty right. I'm hoping they're wrong. Yeah. But also, I mean, you watch that first game, you stuck the guy behind a really bad offensive line. Let's call it what it is. And we were trying to figure out, is the Steelers front that good or is the Giants line that bad? Well, I think it's both. Steelers front is that damn good and the Giants line is pretty bad. But he was starting to get a little frisky, Saquon. Starting to get a little frisky. I started him in our waiver wired contest. So that knocked me right out, along with Kirk Cousins. More on him later. Jesus, I don't like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to start with the injuries. We're just going to say everyone at some point, if you're in multiple seasonals and playing on FanDuel, you probably lost a player at some point. I didn't even know Devontae Adams went down. That was super sneaky. When did that happen?
Yeah, he kind of went out like mid-game, I think, and maybe came back. I think it's a hamstring. Hopefully that's not a long one. But yeah, I mean, Mostert went out and came back. Obviously, a couple quarterbacks went down. And then, I mean, I don't know if we want to talk about this already, but hello, surprise start from Justin Herbert. Last minute, if you had Tyrod Taylor in your lineups, you must have been like, what?
Well, I don't know how many people had Tyrod Taylor in their lineup against the Chiefs, but that, yeah, I was reading and like watching the reports on that. I mean, I wonder if that was just a little Jedi mind trick. Like, we're not even going to tell this kid until like 2 hours before the game. And let me tell you, he looked good.
I know. It was exciting, right? Kind of like when we watched Joe Burrow's debut, we were like, hey, this guy looks good. And hey, this kid looks good. I mean, he made some rookie mistakes, whatever. But honestly, overall, he didn't look nervous. And I think what I like the most is every time they put the camera on him, he looked like he was having so much fun. He looked like he was
having fun.
This is the time of my life.
And the two things that stuck out to me, I mean, it was more than two, but the two main things. One was on like a sideline scramble to get the first down. He lowered his shoulder. The defender lowered his shoulder. Defender was going fast. Herbert was kind of jogging. They collided. Both men went flying. Herbert bounced up in a half a second, and the defender on the Chiefs was down. And they're like, he's 6'6", 249 pounds. It's like, oh my God, that guy's a monster. Second thing, I mean, he just throws a good ball, man. I mean, he had strength. Yeah, it just all worked. That one play, which I don't think it cost him the game because that was just a good game to watch, but the interception he threw, he had the scramble. He could have not only got the first down, he could have got another 10 yards after that and got out of bounds safely. And he went for a hero play across the field. Those things are just going to get cleaned up. That's rookie stuff. I was really impressed.
I agree. I'm sorry, but if you take Patrick Mahomes to overtime in your rookie debut, you should be pretty proud of yourself. Go you, Justin Herbert. Go you. Seriously.
So let's get the FanDuel stuff going because I think I am officially on the hot seat with FanDuel. Now, granted, no one could fire me from FanDuel because it's my own money. I could only fire me, and I would never do such a thing. No. But I really, really, I mean, I lost two head-to-heads for a good amount of money. I think I maybe placed in the million for like $15 or something like that. But in our vaunted waiver wire contest, which my wife didn't even get in, because she tried to put her team at 9 a.m. and it was filled.
Yes, we filled.
She didn't even get in. So it filled really quick. And we appreciate that, you guys. But I mean, listen to this just terribleness that I started. I'm pulling it up right now. I came in 461st place. Some of you on Twitter are trolling me. People are sending screenshots of my ranking plummeting. We talked about a lineup on last show. I felt really good about this lineup. I thought Kirk Cousins was going to actually have a decent lineup, a decent game rather. What on earth happened with Kirk Cousins? Is this a Stefanski hangover? Is Mike Zimmer getting fired? What is happening? The Vikings can't score. Do they miss Stephon Diggs? What's happening?
I guess they're missing Stephon Diggs. It's a good question. I think they missed Stefanski. I really think that's what it was. I think he was a bigger piece of that organization than we realized. And the Minnesota defense is just terrible on top of it. Their cornerbacks are terrible. So, by the way, another injury, Paris Campbell over on the Colts. Yeah.
It's actually remarkable that I didn't come in last place. I started Kirk Cousins, who had 1.52 points. Saquon, who we know what happened there. Jonathan Taylor was a good start. Thielen, yes. I paired.
And by the way, one of our picks of the week, Jonathan Taylor.
We're
going to
talk about our picks of the week in a minute. I rode Thielen with Cousins. I tried to connect. That was not a connection.
I played Thielen as well. That was my one mistake.
I had Jerry Jeudy, and then he disappeared, got hurt. He actually gutted it out and came back into the game. Davante Adams, hamstring. And then with Hockenson, Marvin Jones was like my best call. He had 10.3 points at flex for a good price in the Steelers. I mean, that was terrible. How did you do in the waiver wire?
Well, Jerry, I came in 39th. I tripled my money, even with $15. You know, not best ever, but also not the worst. Let me tell you my lineup. I had Dak Prescott, who got me 39.8 points. Ezekiel Elliott, 19.2. Derrick Henry, only 8.4. That was a disappointment. But I will say I was really happy to see Ryan Tannehill have that kind of game because I have been touting Ryan Tannehill for a while now, and we can talk about that later too. But I'm a big Tannehill fan. CeeDee Lamb, 14.5. Calvin Ridley, 26.4. Russell Gage, 13.6. Jonnu Smith, 2-touchdown game, 22.4. And then I also had Adam Thielen in there, who was pretty much a dud.
That's what basically killed you, because he was also about $6,800. There's a lot of guys you could have got in there.
I'm with you. Thielen should have had a game. So that's just weird.
Well, I gotta pick it up. Shout outs to our winner this week. We're going to get in touch with you so you could participate in the head-to-head. We had our first head-to-head as part of this gauntlet that we're throwing at you guys. Again, if you win your week, then you obviously win some cash. You move on next week to play in a head-to-head, and you win that, you go on to the Week 16 Tournament of Champions, as we're calling it. So I talked about this guy for a minute, my good buddy Max Greenfield, right? A lot of you know him from New Girl, great actor. Him and I did a movie together literally back in 2001, and we've been in a million fantasy leagues ever since then. And I called him. I said, you know, I've dropped your name like four times. Now I got to come through, and you got to do this head-to-head. And I said, look, give us your best lineup. Don't feel bad if you lose. We want these people to win money, so don't feel, but try. And boy, did he. Our week one winner is not going on to the tournament of champions. Wow. Not only that, it was kind of over before it started. Max won by 50 points. And we have a little voice message for our week one winner that Max sent over. He ran out Josh Allen, Jonathan Taylor, Mostert, Davante Adams hurt him. Robert Woods got some points for him. Anderson, Noah Fant, as I mentioned. Nice. He got the Ridley BS. We'll talk about Ridley later. And Bill's defense, it was a cakewalk to victory. Wow. And then I said, you know, give me some reaction to that. I want to make sure we play it on our podcast so our fans know you actually picked this team. They know I couldn't have picked this team. Maybe they thought you, Jen, might have picked this team. But here's our little message for our winner from, or should I say our loser now, from Max Greenfield.
Hey, it's Max Greenfield. My first week of FanDuel, what an experience. I think we dropped 700,000 points. Yeah, say we fired on all cylinders.
If I don't own cylinders.
So get some.
Get some.
Be about it.
Be about it.
That's right.
That was his amazingly adorable son, Ozzy, who is a very strong kid, by the way, for such a young guy. Might be in the NFL one day. But props to Max. Sorry for the week one winner. On to week two. So we'll be working on the mystery guest for that. I might have to tone down these mystery guests. I mean, if we're going to have 50-point blowouts.
Yeah.
Well, if it gets that bad, then I'll pick one of the lineups to ensure the fact that someone will go on to the next round. We did pretty well with our FanDuel players to watch, right?
We did. So mine was Jonathan Taylor. He had a very good day at that price point. I would say he returned way more than his value. They do a thing where they do, on Fantasy Alarm, actually, you can go to Fantasy Alarm and they'll show you how much value the player returned based on what you paid. So I should go check what he actually returned, but he was very, very good return for the price.
I again went with my and Max's favorite player of all time, Noah Fant. And he went 3.5 quarters where he did not deliver and he had a big fat goose egg. And our boy Locke was one of the injured of this week. So it looked real bad for my call. And then he just had, you know, he made his two or three big plays, caught a TD, caught a 2-point conversion, put up points. Boom, I look like a genius again. So the Noah
Fant,
I won't pick him in week three because I don't want you guys to think I'm just copping out, but I'm 2-for-2 with my Noah Fant calls to this point.
Very good. And, you know, I was thinking about it, Jerry. You know, you put out a call like, what should I name my team? Because I'm a Noah Fant person. And I came up with one for you. Ready? Da-na-na-na, da-na-na, Fant touch this.
I like that. Yeah. You know what? I might have to change because I was going to go with, I was a big fan of the movie Can't Hardly Wait. I was going to go with Noah Fant Hardly Wait.
That's
but I kind of like
too.
What you're doing there. Hammer's my guy. So we'll keep working on it. He's going to be in my official team name.
And then every time he comes to play, you'll be like, it's Hammer time. Come on. Yeah. I'm gonna think of more. You're going to get sick of these. Like every week, I'm going to come up with a new Noah Fant team name for you.
You know what? We might have to make a FanDuel game out of that somewhere along the line too. My seasonal, I'm hanging tough. Like I said, 0-3, I was ready to quit. I think I'm going to get at least 2 wins out of the 3. The annoying thing is the trade we were talking about with the guy who may or may not actually play in the NFL, I played him this week, and I had to watch Mostert get a touchdown, and it was just really annoying because I was like horrified. You wanted Davante Adams for Derrick Henry, and then neither of the two did anything. And this is going in Sunday night. So that one's not looking good, but I won't know till after the Monday night game. So, but the auction league, that all stressful moment, I think I put up $160 piece in there. So I got a little Evans Brady hookup.
Nice.
Kelsey was jamming. How are you in the auction league? You hanging tight?
Okay, I still have a chance to win it, but it's going to be very tight this week because I unfortunately suffered the Will Fuller thing where he started and he went immediately out, which we knew could happen. You take on that risk when you do it, but it definitely hurt me this week. However, if Russell Wilson has a good game tonight, I can still take this home. So that's
which
the one person I'm waiting on. So I need like 21 points from Russell Wilson, which I think is completely doable. So I'm hanging in there.
Yeah. You kind of, Will Fuller house. He went Will Fuller house on you and just.
I did. And you know what? And I knew that's a possibility. And you know, I had Robbie Anderson on my bench right there. Would have been done already. Would have already won. I'd have done that, but what can you do?
You know, I made the decision. I started Robbie Anderson in one of my seasonals because I just like, I had to know. I had to know if this was going to like, you know, because he's a little Will Fuller-ish at times with his big plays. And it wasn't a great game, but it certainly wasn't a bad game. He, I think we got so much to unpack here. I made my weekly journal. Go ahead.
Can I ask if you started James Conner or Zach Moss in that league?
I did. Listen,
did?
Yes. I'm not going to lie, though. I am not going to lie.
You cursed me.
You are not the only professional fantasy expert that I went to.
It's okay.
And let me just say, this is going to earn your trust in me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conflicting report. Someone, a professional who will remain nameless. I don't name any names on this show. He said, go with Zach Moss. Wasn't that who I asked you about? It was Zach Moss.
Yeah, you said Zach Moss or James Conner, and I said James Conner. Yeah.
He said Zach Moss. Then I hit up Jennifer. She said, no way, James Conner. For me, the decision was easy. I was going to go with my co-host because what better way to go into this relationship than to keep building trust?
Right.
And also, this was like James Conner put up or I'm trading you week after the injury again in week one, I just would have been done. I drafted him, I think like third round. This was it. If he had another like limped off the field in the second quarter, I was going to try to trade him just anyone who plays. So you saved me there. That was a big performance, but I did make my daily journal as I was watching. Okay. I started the day. Obviously, Mostert let us off with an 80-yard touchdown before football even started. And then I look and I am playing him in all three seasonals.
Wow. That wasn't cool. What are the odds of that?
I started off down whatever that touchdown was, 12 points or 18 points. But I knew I had to stay positive. Mitch Trubisky, is he now officially a viable fantasy quarterback? Is it official? Even Miller dropped the touchdown that he should have caught. Those numbers could have even been better. Is he viable officially?
Trubisky better? Maybe that was their intention the whole time. I don't know, but I think he could be. And certainly with these specific matchups he's had now, he's had some pretty easy matchups, so we don't want to go crazy here.
Right.
I definitely think that he is certainly streamable, if nothing else.
Interesting. I was a little impressed in moments, but then of course the Giants had a chance to win that game. Daniel Jones did get him close. Giants got a lot of problems, but that's neither here nor there. I also now, it's two straight weeks I've played someone who had Calvin Ridley. This is not an overreaction take I'm giving you. I'm just asking a question. He's not the number one option, but is he fantasy-wise on that team? And maybe it's because Julio gets so much attention.
So that's exactly what I said. I actually had this conversation with Howard this morning over at Fantasy Alarm. I always play Calvin Ridley when I have the choice because for whatever reason, and I don't know why, Julio Jones doesn't get in the end zone. He might get more yards, but he almost never gets touchdowns. If you go back and look historically, for some reason, he doesn't get touchdowns, and touchdowns mean fantasy points. Calvin Ridley now, two touchdown games in a row, plus he got the massive yardage. And I think that part of it is that he does get all the coverage. People assume they've got to take care of Julio, which is what was happening a lot in the Dallas game today. Plus, it was just terrible defense all around in Dallas. Don't get me started. But also, just Calvin Ridley's really darn good. And Matt Ryan is pass happy. And they're just on high-powered offense. And Calvin Ridley, I think, is going to be the one that comes away with the bigger numbers at the end of this season. Julio's getting a little
that
older.
That game. Oh, my.
A perfect dime thrown by Matt Ryan.
So many things were extremely annoying about that game. As a Giants fan who hates the Cowboys, first of all, what the hell with your Cowboys? 20-0. One of my notes here is like, still going to try to blame Jason Garrett? ?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're down 20-0. Your offense sucked for an entire half. Elliott was minus points. Dak was almost minus points for a while. I'm like,
he was minus CD in Lamb. My leagues.
Yeah, so that was terrible, but it's just plain and simple. I'll break it down to you like this. Anyone who's playing the Falcons is a must start. Just play them, whether it's FanDuel, whether it's your seasonal and you got to plug someone in a flex. If your player is playing the Atlanta Falcons, play them. That game was ridiculous, and it looked for a minute like the Falcons were the best team in football. And then it was the complete opposite. It went from Garrett ? Is Mike McCarthy on the hot seat? I was basically doing my hot takes to like, no, Dak's awesome. Zeke's awesome. And the Falcons are shit on defense right now.
Dak threw for over 400 yards and rushed for 3 touchdowns. That is monster. He had the most monster fantasy day. And I was looking at that the same way because I had him in our waiver wire contest. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a total bomb. I thought this game was going to have all the points. I was so sure. And it's just going to bomb on me because I started Dak Prescott instead of Matt Ryan. And then as it got worse, I started thinking, no, now Dak's going to have to throw. And it ended up every time he rushed it in, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, you rushed it in? That's extra points for me. This is insane.
It's, quarterback rushing touchdowns, or when like when someone gets you like a birthday gift you actually wanted.
Yes.
You know, I am always appreciative. I actually don't want anyone to ever get me birthday gifts. I don't like birthdays. I don't like the happy birthday song. I agree with Larry like David. I don't like the song.
I don't like the song.
Yeah,
but I, like
I do
presents.
Enjoy like let's cake. Let's go have like dinner cake. And have a drink, and then let's call it a day, right? But man, when your quarterback gets like a rushing TD, it's like, oh wow, you got me this?
When he How did you know? Three?
How did you know this is I just can't believe you remember that that's what I wanted. And he delivered. CeeDee Lamb looked great. Obviously, that Lamb offense did. Is going to be fine. But I will say, of all the weaponry that goes on with your Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. I am calling all cars for our guy, Michael Gallup here. Where have you been? Where is he?
So he had a couple of very close calls. He had a touchdown he should have had last week. Got called back. You know, this it's just been a couple close calls. So I'm not too worried. I think it's going to be there. It's just been bad, you know, luck, like the way that it fell. I mean, Amari Cooper actually didn't get in the end zone either. So it was, you know, Dalton Schultz, which by the way, I put in a deep dive video kind of almost as a joke. And then he actually came through, which was wacko.
You're on fire. You're still
it's
on
crazy.
Fire, Jen.
Wacko. That was not, that should not have happened.
What a game. What a game.
What a game. I mean, it was so much fun to watch. You should have seen me in my living room. I mean,
but, I just would have loved.
And then with the onside kick. The Greg Zerline, and then like, what were the Falcons doing? The Falcons screwed up the game. It's not that the Cowboys were so good. The Falcons let it get away from them at the end.
Yeah, I guess like when you're looking at an onside kick, and that was the first one that was recovered this year. It might be the only one because no one seems to recover onside kicks anymore. But
right.
I guess, yeah, they could have dove on it at any time. But if you dive on it before 10 yards and if it just squirts out,
exactly.
The Cowboys are definitely going to recover. So I do understand why they were like, you know, they made a great analogy on the call where it's like, you know, third baseman waiting for the bunt to roll foul and it just stays fair and there's never really a play on it. Mm-hmm. But the Cowboys, it also might be must start against anyone playing the Cowboys too, because that defense has a lot of injuries.
So bad.
And
the O-line's injured. But that just means in the end, Dak could end up getting you more. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like
shootouts.
That game was. Yeah, exactly.
We want shootouts, but mm-hmm. man, would have been funny if the Washington football team would have been in first place at 1-1. If they would have won today, that would have, I mean, if Dallas would have lost today, that would have been hilarious.
Right. I mean, but like Washington, I guess we have the answer to the question. Was Washington that good or was Philly that bad? Philly looks to be that bad. Philadelphia, the Eagles.
Yeah, so it's funny. That's my next thing on my running journal here. All right, before we move on, though, I want to take a second and talk to you about something new from FanDuel Fantasy. This show is proud to be presented by FanDuel Fantasy. Week 2 of the NFL's gone. Week 3 of the NFL's coming up, and we are entering our fantasy lineups on FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great. FanDuel is offering users the chance to play for free this NFL season. No deposit required. And this year, FanDuel is now offering daily snake drafts. Snake drafts are the simplest way to try daily fantasy. Draft like just season-long fantasy, but with winners every game day. The best of seasonal drafting with DFS all in one. Jen, tell us how exactly snake draft works and what you're excited about for FanDuel snake draft.
Okay, here's how it works. You find a daily snake draft. You draft your team live. Drafts start as soon as the contest fills. You and your opponents will draft 6 players in a 6-round draft with a 30-second timer per pick. Unlike other FanDuel contests, there's no salary cap. So do you know why I'm excited about daily snake drafts? Because it's the best part of fantasy, drafting and playing with others. Just sign up and FanDuel will give you a free entry to a contest each week of the football season where you can win real prizes. Plus, for those folks who want a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Go to FanDuel.com/waiverwired or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. This is FanDuel.com/waiverwired.
The Eagles and the Jets don't have one player on fantasy I want. I'm not saying that, look, the Eagles have been starting slowly kind of the last 2-3 years. They went on a Super Bowl run, and then last year they managed to squeak into the playoffs. So they will at some point get healthy and start playing well. But just on a fantasy perspective right now, there's not, Miles Sanders came back. He looked, you know, he had a fumble.
Fine.
He looked good, but he looked good in moments. There's not one player.
Touchdown.
Them and the Jets, there's not one player on those two rosters that I would start and feel good about right now. It will change with the Eagles.
The Jets are a JV team. Like, literally, they went to the local high school and they're like, hey, can we borrow your guys? Like, that's what they look like. It's so bad.
Yeah. And then something else sticking with that game, very, very happy for Jordan Reed. Reed was a player that I always would take. I would always wait on tight end and take Jordan Reed. And he would always play really well for Washington. And then he'd get a concussion.
Me too. I'm so happy for him too. And you know what? I had George Kittle in the league. And then when they announced he was out, which we were expecting because of Will, I was thinking I had to plan for him anyway. So I thought, oh, I'll just take Jordan Reed. Thank God.
Save yeah, me. I do still get always nervous when I see that a pass is going to Jordan Reed because I don't want any player to get a concussion ever.
No.
I really don't. I mean,
poor guy.
You know, they know what it is that they are involved with. But man, that guy has had it real rough in that department. So much talent. I think he's one of the more top talented tight ends to come in a long time. And it was just these damn concussions that. But I was real happy to see him kind of showing up and beating up on the Jets is always fun. Is Higbee like the new Cooper Kupp? Has he replaced? I know they play like they're not exactly the same position, but what my guy Cooper Kupp was doing this last year
right.
through the first six games.
Until Higbee became a piece of the offense, right?
I think that's when Kupp got hurt though. Then Higbee
kind of around the same
in.
Time and then Kupp never really came back. And I stayed off Kupp all this year, even though like I know and mentally Kupp should be good, but I just see this being Robert Woods and Tyler Higbee. I don't know why, but Higbee was 3 touchdowns today. He was beast mode. And obviously Sean McVay is also just mixing things up because remember how all you guys were freaking out? Should I go get Malcolm Brown? Guess what? It was Daryl Henderson week. So we just don't know what he's going to do. So just because Tyler Higbee had a 3 touchdown game today doesn't mean he won't next week. But I'm definitely a little concerned about Cooper Kupp. He used to be the touchdown monster too. He got all his points from touchdowns. That's not happening.
I'm calling in on our listeners right now. If you could name me, fantasy-wise, of course, a more unlikable backfield than the Rams, I want to hear it. Not unlikable because I don't like them as people. I'm sure they're wonderful people. And not unlikable because, like, they're not talented.
Right.
You can't play any of them. Mm-hmm. It's literally you're flipping a three-headed coin.
Yeah.
And I have Henderson. I have a share of a Rams running back across all leagues somewhere. And I didn't start Malcolm Brown last week. Started him this week. Last week I started Cam Akers. Then he gets hurt again. Now watch. Smart money, if he's healthy, you got to go with Cam next week, right?
Right.
It's the odds on favorite. It's his turn.
It's his turn. They said they were going to share.
That is, that's a really tough situation. It's good for them because they have depth. They have three really, really talented running backs. But for fantasy owners, not good. Question for you in two parts. Well, one, give me your two best teams in the AFC right now through 2 weeks and your two best teams in the NFC. I think I got Ravens and Chiefs right now.
I got Ravens and Chiefs in AFC.
Okay. And then, but the Steelers are the Steelers and Titans are making up ground. The Titans we'll get to that game.
Yeah, I definitely
too.
Want to talk about that game.
NFC. Go ahead. Feel free to throw your Cowboys up there. Go ahead.
No, I don't think that they're up there. To be honest, it could be the Packers, which I can't believe.
I think I got the Packers in there.
And
too.
I think it's either it might be the Cardinals.
I was gonna say the Saints right now, although we're saying this before we see them on Monday night versus Vegas. So right now I would say the Saints sight unseen. But yeah, if we're just going off of 2 weeks. Man, the Cardinals are good.
I know.
And I am sorry. I don't even remember what the Texans. I know they got David Johnson and picks and what. I don't care.
They got schooled.
You gave DeAndre Hopkins to Kyler Murray, who is so talented. And honestly, he's so fun in fantasy if he's on your team. He's terrifying if you're playing Kyler Murray. Terrifying. Oh my God, he has like, it's just not even fair, the weapons that they have.
It's ridiculous. And your Christian Kirk had a much better game this week. But yeah, Kyler will make plays like we were talking about earlier. You're going to get the rushing touchdowns. You're going to get crazy shots through the air to DeAndre Hopkins, to Christian Kirk, to Larry Fitzgerald, to the Dan Arnold. I mean, just like to whomever. Like, he's
Larry Fitz is like your like possession slot receiver. And I know he's up there, but like, okay, I'm down with that. If we're throwing him five, six balls a game, he's probably going to catch five of the six, if not all six, probably a few first downs in there.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray really should send the entire Houston Texan organization a very lovely gift basket this year, because I mean, he is going to get him. He's going to get paid probably no matter what. And he's going to have a long career, but oh my, DeAndre Hopkins, guys like that, they do not grow on trees in the NFL. That guy is so good. It's scary.
It is scary. And I feel terrible for Deshaun Watson. Because like Deshaun's like, really? You took away my best weapon? I mean, don't get me wrong. Brandon Cooks is great, but he's concussion happy the same way Will Fuller's already out. I mean, really? And you got me a running David Johnson? I mean, like, fine. Yeah, he was talented. He's talented. Okay. But like, that is not the same. When you have one of the quarterbacks with one of the best arms in the league and you go and take away his best weapon, it's just not cool.
Look, I'm going to research. I don't remember exactly what was got in that deal.
No, it was like a hacky sack and a bag of magic beans and David Johnson. Seriously. That's what they got for DeAndre Hopkins.
If I was to redraft right now and go back in time and get to do some of the seasonal drafts again, I was looking hard at Kyler Murray and I just didn't do it. And I was looking long and hard at DeAndre Hopkins, but I kind of almost held last season against him a little bit. Like he had a good year, like he always does, but it wasn't like that, the Hopkins we know. He had a lot of quiet games and he got a lot of big points in just a few games. So I just got scared. Oh man, like it's just a no-brainer. So I'm an idiot for not having I don't have a share of either of those two men.
I have Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins in the Scott Fishbowl, and I'm super happy about it. And I have Zeke as well in that. So I'm loving it. And I had Higbee today too, which is like, it's just a good day.
You're so good at this. Yeah.
No, I'm just telling you the teams I'm not losing at because it makes me look better.
Did you play Russell Gage anywhere? Like we spoke about, that was a little sneaky pick. He should have thrown for a touchdown.
The only place I played Russell Gage was in our FanDuel contest because the price was so good, $5,300.
You almost got a free throwing touchdown. He threw a touchdown. It was dropped. It was right there. It was a perfect pass. I was upset for you. And I thought that, I don't know. I didn't know he had an arm like that. What were some of your takeaways? Like, do you feel with any of your season longs that you need to make any moves? I was looking to trade everybody after week one. I'm now going to take a step back. I'm still going to try to make a deal at some point, like I said, but I think I stopped the bleeding. Do you feel anywhere that you have any deals you want to discuss going forward or coming up?
The main thing I'm going to have to review is what I'm going to do about Saquon Barkley. Because that's a first round pick that I'm just out and probably out for the season. So I'm going to have to figure out what kind of a deal I can make in that league, what I can do. If I just want to try to paste it together from the waiver wire, it's hard to do that with running backs. And you know what I'm kicking myself about? I had the second pick in that draft and I thought about taking Ezekiel Elliott because I think Ezekiel Elliott is one of the sturdiest players in the NFL.
Right.
Plus he's a Cowboy. Plus I just think he's one of the best, probably the best runner in the NFL. Sorry, pure running, but it was a PPR league. And I felt like everyone would give me crap about, oh, you took a Dallas Cowboy, right? I really did. I literally didn't take Ezekiel Elliott because I thought people would give me a hard time about being like a homer and taking a Cowboy over Saquon Barkley and, you know, getting cute about it. And I so regret it. I should have just followed my instinct and not worried what people would have thought. I should have just taken Zeke.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I was thinking about it too, and McCaffrey was also like nowhere to be found today. And then of course, you know, then he gets in the end zone and still even like McCaffrey's like C game, like they didn't really do much. It's still pretty good. It's not terrible. He never puts up like 2 points barring injury, but it's tough. That's why I know some people do. I don't love having a top three pick in seasonal. I know that sounds silly and maybe it is stupid and maybe that's why I only have one championship in like 25 years of doing this.
I don't love it either.
Because it's made for you, kind of.
And then you have to wait all the way back around. As if you have like the eighth pick or the ninth pick, you kind of get two guys that are better. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if one of them fails, you don't lose as much. Because by the time you get all the way back, if you took Christian McCaffrey in a 14-team league, it's pretty far. And if Christian McCaffrey gets injured,
Saquon's the prime example. You might be sunk in that league. I mean, you're good enough at fantasy to play that waiver wire or make a trade. Is there anything you could do trade wise to bolster up there? Like, are you deep at wide receiver?
I think I am. I have to actually go look at that league closer and pull it up right now. Such a bummer. It's an all women's league. So it's all ladies playing, which is kind of cool. But I got to tell you, women are sharks, man.
Oh, I could tell you right now, I would be in dead last in that league. Everyone would be so far in my head, dead last.
They're so nice, you know, but they're not taking anything. Like, they know what they're doing. So I have to look. I haven't really looked at it closely because I was more worried about.
Well, take a look for Thursday's show and maybe, because, you know, I went on my whole, but I think you should throw your hat in the ring. And what else? Look, you lost your top pick. You built your team around him.
So here it is. I have Thielen, Woods, Gallup, Slayton, Sims Jr., Ayuk. Oh, I have James Robinson. Oh, I'm going to be fine, y'all. I'll be fine.
So you don't need to make any moves?
No, I mean, I can always improve, but this isn't as bad as I thought it was. I didn't even realize I had James Robinson. I early went and bid on James Robinson when I very first heard the news in case this happened. I forgot I did that. So we're okay. Oh no, I'm still in trouble because I have Ronald Jones as another running back. And now obviously Fournette's going to take his job.
Yeah.
So I got to make moves.
Well,
Jarrett McKinnon is available. That might be the way to go.
I mean, is he going to do that every time? No, that was against the Jets, wasn't it? Oh no.
Yeah,
wait.
But I mean, Jarrett McKinnon, the thing is, if Mostert's injured, we're going to have to find out.
I don't know. Obviously
I can go pick up Wayne Gallman or something as an emergency.
So the league I was in that I was talking about the trade last week, Davante Adams, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, all that.
Yes.
I'm probably going to go 0-2. It looks like. So you're listening to this on Monday. I'll probably go 0-2. It looks like. And Davante Adams was pretty much my centerpiece player for the trade. Now his stock which was so high is now so low. At 0-2, I think I got to make a move. Here's what I'm thinking. The only other viable piece after I've Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, Patrick Mahomes.
Love that. Don't break those guys up.
Should I try and trade Mahomes? And then, cause like I'm already looking at the waiver wire and like, they're like, Herbert's out. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there still. I even think Goff is out there. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that they're not Patrick Mahomes, and today Mahomes was fine. He got overtime to get him some points, but
he wasn't spectacular today.
No, the Chiefs just almost, I don't know. Did they take the Chargers maybe too lightly? Were they a little surprised by the Herbert thing? Because
I think a little
Tyreek Hill had zero in the first half and then it put up, you know, 95 yards in like a second.
Right.
I'm not worried about Mahomes. He still put up 29 points. So ultimately he's the GOAT right now, but I need a little help in that league. And I think I could maybe just get by on the name right now and maybe get a nice return.
But can we talk really briefly about our boy, Gardner Minshew?
Oh, you want to read my next note?
Is that
here we go?
Wow, we are really vibing today.
We're
like
vibing.
I'm like figuring out exactly where we're going. Gardner Minshew has moxie, baby. Like I'm also a huge Ryan Tannehill fan. If you go back through my stuff, you're going to see that I've been saying for months, I don't understand why people are sleeping on Ryan Tannehill. He's actually really good. He plays mistake-free football. He can throw. He's just competent. He's got great pass completion, blah, 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 blah. Fine. But Gardner Minshew, he's a winner.
It's a new rule.
He's a winner.
Play all the Jags. Play any of the Jags you want.
Yeah, I mean, James Robinson was good today. You got to get Chark out there. Like, I'm excited for Laviska Shenault. Like, this is an exciting team. Like, no one told them they were supposed to lose, apparently. I know ultimately they did lose, and that was a pretty freak play that Gardner Minshew himself kind of lost in the end. But it was a pretty freaky play.
I love that they didn't give up on him, and some were saying that the Jags were trying to tank, and maybe they are. Maybe they still are. Maybe they're going to go 1-15. But either way, they are trying. There is nobody on that team who is not trying to win the game.
That's right. And it's exciting to watch.
Yeah, I'm pulling up Minshew's number for 30. I think he very well leads the league in completion percentage, probably 30 for 45, 339 yards, 3 touchdowns. And you mentioned 2 interceptions. That wasn't great. God, James Robinson got you 102 and a touchdown. Chark is not putting up monster numbers, but he's like a solid 10 to 15, but he's 10 to 15 points a game. Like, he's not going to be the reason why you lose if he's like your second or flex, you know. Cole kind of chipped in. Conley chipped in. And then we even got a Tyler Eifert touchdown, for crying out loud.
That's right.
Throwing it back.
And they were trailing. They were trailing by a lot, and they were never expected to be even close in this game. And I was watching the Cowboys game, and I looked over and I was like, oh my gosh, how did it become 30-30? And I turned off the Cowboys game. And I was like, I'm watching Minshew and Tannehill. I want to watch these kids play.
We should have went. He told us, if you draft me, I think he said first round.
In the first round.
Well, let me tell you something. If you would have said third round, we all should have been owed a beer, because we all should have took him, because he's I just fun guy to root for. And I don't think the Jags are going to go away. I think they're going to be a very pesky team to play. And they're trying hard. That's all you could ask. And they have talent. They have talent. They don't have star names necessarily, but fantasy wise, there's always someone to plug in at your third wide receiver spot or your flex from Jacksonville. That's who I would be grabbing if I needed, especially when bye weeks start rolling around. I would be plugging off of the Jags.
Yeah, and we haven't even seen D.D. Westbrook yet. So
I think D.D. was on my Super Bowl championship team. I think I might have had D.D. going to flex. He got real hot at one point. I think it was 2 years ago. And I think I rode him all the way to the finish line. The only thing I did well today, I did have one FanDuel lineup. That's the one that made me a little bit of money in the million. I had Tannehill, I had Corey Davis, I had John. Like, that was the way to go. But I think I need, how do I hit the reset button with FanDuel? Like, I am just trying so hard to put in the perfect team, and I'm taking big shots. The Benny Snell, you called me out on that. You said, I don't think Benny Snell is going to touch the ball. I didn't think Connor was really going to play when I mentioned that. I'm just trying to put together this home run team. Do you have any advice for me therapeutically? Last week, you saved me in season long. You talked me out of quitting. This week, how do you keep me from just getting someone else to make my picks on FanDuel?
Well, you know, you've got to just press the reset button, because that's the whole point of DFS anyway, that you get to start over every single week. You don't have to roll with the guys you played last week. You don't like them, you don't play them again. So you can hold all the grudges you want, but this is what we're going to do this week. We're going to go early. We're going to go look at Vegas totals, and we're going to look at the games that have the highest expected totals for Vegas, because Vegas is pretty good. They're usually right. We're going to start targeting those games, and we're going to build our roster that way. So this week, I happened to look and see that Cowboys Falcons were the highest expected points total, so I built my lineup around that. So, and I did a heavy game stack. I did a much heavier game stack than I normally would do. Normally, I just one offense, but in this particular situation, it seemed like the values were too good. CeeDee Lamb, 5,200. Russell Gage, 5,300. Like, you had to. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to go about it a different way. We're going to go to Vegas first. We're going to see what they think, and then we're going to use all the research they did to win.
Here's what I'll say as my now Sunday night therapist for fantasy, although today's a much better session for me because I actually won some games.
Yeah.
I feel as though this is how you start therapy, right? This is when the therapist asks you a question. You go, I feel as though, I am so reactionary from the previous week when I am losing 9 different FanDuel matchups. You know, I had Davante Adams in 3 lineups. And yes, he's a great player. I am so reactionary. I'm trying to find, Benny Snell is going to get 12 touches. I'm reacting too much off the previous week. Do I need to just forget about the previous week going
in? You need
to
forget about the previous week because past performance is no indication of future production. And what you have to do is use your head, look at the game script, look at who you trust. Actually, I would even go more to your gut because I don't think you really thought Benny Snell was a better player than James Conner. You didn't really think that, but you've kind of been, and to be honest, people in the fantasy community, we're guilty of convincing you that that's the case. Go out and get Benny Snell. Go out and get Nyheim Hines. These guys got like one target this week, you know?
Yeah, Hines.
We do because if people in the fantasy world don't say that and don't make their big call that you do, then what's the point of you asking them anything? So they come up with these ideas when the truth is the good players are the good players. And then once in a while, someone will come out of the dark because they're elite or they have the opportunity and they'll do really well. But in reality, like you don't have to do these crazy things. I think Nyheim Hines was a better buy than Benny Snell no matter what last week because ultimately I think he will get a share of those targets, especially now without Paris Campbell. So we know Jonathan Taylor is obviously the guy there. That was awesome. There's still going to be plenty of role for Nyheim Hines. Now no Paris Campbell. So that leaves T.Y. Hilton, who hasn't been fantastic, and Zach Pascal. I mean, eh. So Nyheim Hines is going to have action. Benny Snell, on the other hand, if James Conner is healthy, he's just a handcuff. He's not a part of the equation. He's only a handcuff. And is he an important handcuff? Yes. But more important if you already own James Conner. Did I just go on tirade?
I am trying to be real. No, we need tirades. Okay. We need rants. I am just trying to show people that I occasionally can be smart. And I have not shown that yet. I have been pretty dumb in FanDuel. I think I've made a total of $15 and that is not what I invested.
But to be honest, like FanDuel is a whole different beast than seasonal and it's a different muscle. And like, it's just so different.
So Jen, all in all though, give me a temperature gauge of just your spirits this fantasy season. How do you feel through 2 weeks that you're doing? And then, Are you more excited? Are you excited to make moves? You're going to stay pat. You're just going to stay pat with what you got.
I'm going to stay pat for the most part with what I've got. But what I'm going to try to do is always be anticipatory before the injuries happen. Like if I see a really good guy that I think is talented, I'm going to try to get him early so that I can get the bargain price. Because what happens is we all wait too long. Like try to get the sleepers the week before they break out if you can. So you don't have to spend so much of your fab. That's kind of what I did with that James Robinson pick, which I'm glad I did because I just surprised myself. But these things happen. So like, for instance, right now, go get Brandon Ayuk. Go get him now. Don't wait till next week when he goes off and you have to spend 25% of your fab, because what's happening, guys, in this season is a lot more injuries. There's been shorter camps, less time to work out, less time to get conditioned. This happened in baseball too. You got to be anticipatory. So if you see a guy that's talented, go ahead and get him. However, please don't do crazy things like, and this actually happened, drop DJ Moore to pick up, I don't know, random Quintus Cephas. Don't do that, okay? Because you saw Quintus Cephas got 10 targets last week. Don't drop DJ Moore. Don't give up on your studs. It's way too early to give up on your studs.
Well, shout outs to, we are going to be reaching out to someone who I'm looking at his name, Illisol. Congratulations on the victory in the Waiver Wired podcast. I see some names on the leaderboard in the top 100 that I've seen on Twitter. And again, I love all the trolls. Bring the trolls. I'm not afraid. You could show me my lineup all day on a screenshot. You're not going to deter me because this has happened before. I ran a similar contest years ago, Jen. And I was bad for a while, but of all the people who are on that podcast, and I had a rotating group of people coming in, I'm the only one who actually placed first place out of 500 people. I won my own league. I remember who did it for me. It was Danny Woodhead. I would love to play Danny Woodhead in a movie. I have to get super, a lot stronger and buffer. But yeah, so I am at my best. And producers, everyone, Martin, Jim, clip this, okay? I'm going to look right in the camera. I'm at my best when my back is against the wall, okay? I'm like a wounded animal.
Don't poke the sleeping bear, friends.
There's nothing scarier than a wounded animal or something. That quote is a lot cooler than I said it right there. I'm at my best when my back is against the wall. And right now, it's there. So I'm just gonna punch my way out. I'm gonna win one of these weeks. I'm calling my shot. It might not be next week. I will win the Waiver Wired FanDuel podcast contest.
I believe
that's
you.
All. That's it. So therapy. So now I'm walking out of my therapist's office. It's one of those sessions where I'm like fired up. I'm like, let's go. I could do this. I believe. And then I'll
find
get my spirits
crushed. Find the giant
crushed.
Within. The
Wayne
New
Gallman?
York giant.
Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis.
Who do you mean? Was that
Deion
a cryptic
Lewis.
Message?
Oh God.
How many
are.
Overreactions? How many people
Sterling
started
Shepard's
Darius
injured.
Slayton this week?
Oh, you know what? I kind of told coming. People to stay off him a little bit because I just had this bad feeling about him versus Chicago. But that being said, there was a certain line where you had to start Darius Slayton. So I'm sure quite a few people got disappointed. I think I started him in one league. It's pretty That's, much a bummer. But he'll be back. Well, Darius Slayton will be back. Don't worry.
Slayton will be back. And we will be back on Thursday and fresh, clean start. And hopefully we'll be able to get... I think we have to figure out how to get Will Carroll back on the show. I'm going to email him now. I'm going to put the bat signal up. I'm going to put the Carroll signal. We have to have him. It's just that obvious. And thank you to everybody who listened. Thank you to FanDuel and to our winner. Congrats. Max Greenfield, nice mystery guest. There'll be a new one next week. And Jen, thank you for kind of letting me vent on this Sunday night. Congrats to your Cowboys. I still think you guys are terrible, but you're 1-1 sitting atop the division with the Washington football team. So congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys Thursday.